All right, so I guess a little background. I was raised in a Presbyterian church by two Christian parents. I liked and enjoyed church. I liked being involved. I kind of had the ability to get really involved where my father was in the church, his position. Grew up serving, and it was great, you know. Great community. I really liked it. I was 17. I experienced a severe depression that for years didn't go away. And so the environment that I grew up in, the first thing I did was, well, if I just seek God, then he'll take that away. And so I prayed and prayed that God would give me happiness. I really did my best to try to muster up any affection or feeling for God that I could, because I really didn't have any. And really didn't understand why that was. I prayed like James talks about, so I could spend it on my passions, so that I could have happiness and joy in this life. I had a certain awareness of God, but I think that was kind of a Romans 1:20 awareness, the kind that is kind of aware of his invisible attributes on this earth. It wasn't in my heart. My heart was dead. This pursuit of happiness just created a downward spiral. Pursuing my own pleasure, pursuing stability and medication and counseling and all kinds of programs and things, and not God. So I believe that I was saved in July of 08 after confessing some sin to an elder and a small group leader, and then to my roommates. And one of my roommates said, "Don't you know that you've been covered in Jesus' blood?" And kind of the reality hit me, and I realized that I couldn't out-sin the cross, despite all my sins and recurring sins over a period of years. There's nothing I could do. And all my attempts to stab at Jesus' throne and try to dethrone him were futile. So I saw that. And I saw that as much as I could not move God, he was actively moving me. Just want to give you some verses that I believe I'm going to talk about God and Jesus. Genesis 50:20 explains God's sovereignty, the fact that he uses everything for his own good. Psalm 51:5 says, "I was born into sin." So the same evil that Joseph's brothers committed against him in Genesis, I did against Jesus on the cross. I was there. My sin was there. But he nailed it to the cross. And I believe that in light of that, Jeremiah 17:8, my heart is desperately sick and deceitful. And there's still a presence of that within me. But good news, Jesus came, John 3:16, that all that believe in him would have newness of life. He tells me also in John 15 that if I abide in him, practice a minute-by-minute obedience every day, just, you know, conforming to him, making my thoughts his, thinking of him, that I can have his love, and that I can foster obedience that way, and that I can also have what I ask. I know that I will persevere to the end. No one can snatch me out of Jesus' hand. John 10:28-30. That's really good news. I know that I can preach the gospel to myself. Romans 3:21-26. In Philippians, the whole book. Just in light of persevering, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:16-18 that we'll be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And then he also says a chapter later in the same two verses, 16-18, that the affliction we experience now doesn't matter, because we're going to have a weight of glory when we die. One thing that's really been encouraging to me and has kept, it's really helped me to uncover sin. God has used this in my life. I'm quick to deceive myself, and I need my brothers, and I need my elders. And James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another." Galatians 6, "Bear one another's burdens." These things are essential to a healthy body. And I praise God for this body and Jesus work in this body, because if it were him, there wouldn't be any love, there wouldn't be any happiness. So I just want to just want to, yeah, thank Jesus for what he's done in me and in this body.
Thanks, Michael. I don't know that I've ever met a man who is more transparent about his sin and as relentless to cling to the cross. And your life and God's grace in your life speaks volumes to me about how to keep clinging to the cross. And I'm so thankful for his grace, which will never let you go, which is even more relentless than you are. Thanks, Micah. Appreciate it.